Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman, and thanks for joining us this week. So as you know, the show is all about change. And I hope that every week as you listen to the show between my guests and mine, and we have these great conversation and we give tips and strategies and ideas, please try something new. Please try them out immediately after listening to the show. Action creates reaction, which is where you start to get the results. So I do hope that our conversations during the show are helpful to you. In addition to that, of course, I have a free gift for you. So, and my guest has a free gift, which we're going to share at the end. So stay till the end of the show as well. But my free gift to you is my free communication style assessment, which is just a brilliant tool to help you identify what your natural communication superpowers are, to show how you show up and are received and perceived by your clients, your colleagues, family, whoever it is. Additionally, you get a report that shows your blind spots or your lowest score. For me, I think sometimes they are even more insightful and helps us on our journey of change because we shoot ourselves in the foot when we don't see those blind spots. So go to whitmanassoc.com/CSA for your free communication style assessment. Now, my motivational quote today is by Dr. Joe Dispenza. And Dr. Joe says, each time you make a new choice that is in alignment with your future, you are priming your brain to install the neurological hardware to actually think, act, and feel like the person you want to be in the future. Mind blower, right, guys? So how many of you feel stuck? Do you believe that your future is bright and filled with amazing new opportunities? And maybe this is the more important question to ponder today. Do you think you have control over your future? And here's the thing. If you answered no to my last two questions, I really think you're going to be excited for today's conversation. My amazing guest, and she's back, I think for the second time, back to the show, is Dr. Sharon Grossman. Now, Sharon is the author of the international best-selling book, The 7E Solution to Burnout, Transforming High Achievers from Exhausted to Extraordinary. She's a burnout expert who has taken her background in psychology and 2 decades of experience in the field and has dedicated herself to helping high achievers who just struggle with anxiety, overwhelm, burnout, and she really wants everyone to live their best life. Her work is all about empowering you to take back control of your mind, and that is what our conversation is about today. So please help me welcome Sharon to the show. Sharon, thanks for being on. Second time, right? This is our second show?
It is. Yeah. And I'm super happy to be back. Thank you.
I think second too many. Like, right? I feel like we have more in the future. I'm projecting, of course, right, Sharon?
It's all good.
I know, right?
We're learning and growing.
That, you said it. So let's start with, why do you think right now so many people are feeling stuck in their lives, right? Whatever that means to everybody listening.
Yeah, I don't think it's something new. It's not necessarily just because of the epidemic or anything like that. I think in general, we're struggling because of our mind. We struggle because of our belief system. And so we become stuck for a variety of different reasons. You might notice the behaviors and that you're kind of sabotaging. You're always getting the same result. Even when you say to yourself, I don't want to do this anymore. You kind of end up having the same outcome over and over again. You might find that you're stuck on an emotional level where no matter what happens, you stay anxious, you stay filled with fear, you have a lot of self-doubt. It might be that it's just the kind of self-talk that you have where you're always beating yourself up, you're always doubting yourself, you're always telling yourself that you're not good enough. And really that boils back down to the belief structure that you have. Because the way that I like to explain it is our beliefs are kind of like the filter through which we see the world. And so that's why when you're in a situation alongside someone else, you may have very different interpretations of that same circumstance, because it is those beliefs that underlie all of the thinking that create the meaning that you make of things that are happening right now in the world. And that's why I think it's so powerful to work on reshaping the belief structure, because everything just flows so much easier rather than us having to work on creating habits and stop feeling so anxious and doing all the things to help us feel more confident, and then really monitoring our self-talk and having all this like self-awareness and mindfulness. Like, it's just so much work. And when we start at the top and we are working on our belief structure, then life just can flow without so much effort.
Yeah. And I like to share a story with that. I think this is exactly what you're saying. We don't even know what those beliefs are sometimes, and they come out at the darndest time. And if you're really listening to what you're saying, or in some cases what you're thinking, hopefully as you raise your awareness to what beliefs might be undermining you, right, and kind of raise your awareness to seek them out so that you can redefine them. I remember my husband and I were driving down. We grew up, I lived and grew up in Homedale. It's a very affluent town here in New Jersey. So my husband and I, because my mom and dad were going to help us babysit when I had kids, we bought a house, blah, 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 right? So we're in this very beautiful home, beautiful town. We're driving down one of the main roads, and there's new construction happening, right? They had just built a house. It was probably like 10,000 square feet, Sharon. It was a big house, right? And in the front of it was little tykes, you know, the plastic like slide and stuff like that. So clearly mm-hmm. it was a very young family. So I turned to my husband, and this, it came out of the blue. I couldn't believe it came out of my mouth. I look and I go, I wonder what he's doing. He must be doing something illegal. And my husband looked at me like as he's driving, he goes, what? And I literally put my hands over my mouth, Sharon, and said, where did that come from? So we were heading down the shore for vacation. And so now it's an hour ride to get to our shore house, right? So as we're driving, I'm thinking, where in God's creation did that come from? So as he and I started speaking, I realized when I was a little girl, I grew up in Newark. And in Newark, mm-hmm. during the riots, it was really bad. But there was a really nice section of Newark where the mafia lived, the Italian mafia. And I remember we were wherever the heck we were driving, and I was in the back seat of the car. It was the whole family, six of us in the car. And as we were driving, I look at the houses, and they were beautiful houses. To me, they were mansions, right, compared to what I lived in. And I said, oh, do celebrities, like do famous people live there? And at the same time, my mom and dad from the front seat, bad people live there. They have guns and they kill people. You stay away. When you get older, you stay away from this area. So you can imagine as a child, what did I hear? Big houses, death, guns, murder, right? Now fast forward, right, as a 40-something-year-old woman, I'm passing this big, beautiful house. I'm like, oh, it's got to be a crook, of course. That's where that memory came from. What a horrible thing to think. What a horrible thing to even say out loud. But that was a very deep-rooted feeling, and I hadn't realized it. A money block, right, Sharon?
Well, it's the way that I like to think of it. It's more than just money, right? It's like a whole set of associations, and that's what we call your programming. So sometimes we have our programming because of interpretations that we made as kids. But sure. Sometimes, like in your case, what you're describing is you took on your parents' programming. So this was their belief system. This is what they thought to be true. They shared it with you, and then you kind of absorbed it like a sponge. Then it became your own.
Yes, true. And who knew it was there until I verbalized, you know, daggers at this crook clearly that lived in this big house. Like, what, where, like when, as an adult right now, I say that out loud, and literally as I said it out loud, my husband and I was horrified. He just looked at me like, you freak me out sometimes, right? Like, where did that come from? But here's the thing, Sharon, it's hard to go back and think about I stopped because I had an hour in the car also. And I thought, I got to figure out where that came. I have to reframe that whole thinking because it's illogical. It's ridiculous. It's stupid, right? Like what? And that's, you know, it was definitely a belief. And here's the funny thing. I don't think my parents believe that if you have a big house, you have money, you're a crook. I don't think that. I think it was that specific neighborhood, you know, 40 years prior to this reaction of mine, where it was, you know, there were bad things happening in those houses, no doubt, right? It's just, it's amazing how our brain works, how our brain is wired, how we absorb things. So that's one example that I came up with. But where do you see negative, because, you know, you do this for a living, where do you see negative self-beliefs come from over and over again? Like, are there typical things you see? Maybe that's my question.
Yeah, I think the most common thing that we see is either what you just described, where you grow up in an environment where your parents believe something, and then you, because you're in that environment, you're picking up their programming. I think the other really common thing that happens is we have our own experiences, and then as kids, we're trying to interpret the meaning behind them. And what I often tell my clients is, you know, the beliefs that you currently hold were generally formulated before the age of 7, when your brain wasn't fully developed, when you didn't truly understand how the world works. And so you came up with whatever conclusion made sense at the time. And at that point in our developmental structure, the way that we think is that everything revolves around us, right? So it's not like a criticism, but it's just a way of life. This is kind of how we think about things in the world. So if mom is upset with us, it's because we're being a bad girl. It's not because she had a stressful time at the office and she's not managing herself properly, right? Or if our parents get divorced, it's because we weren't good enough to like hold them together, or they're leaving us, right?
Sure.
So we're always making all these interpretations as kids that whatever bad things are happening out in the world, it's our fault. It's because we lack something. Yeah. And then that's why you see so much in adulthood, people have the scarcity mindset. They're filled with fear and anxiety. Yes. They're constantly worried about things. They feel insecure in the world. Yes. I think it comes from those early life experiences. And I think what I'd like to do more than anything is invite people, like if you're listening to this, to really start to challenge those beliefs and to question, like, is that actually true? I know that I've been telling this to myself for 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Yes.
But is there really credence in what I'm telling myself, the story that I've constructed? Because after all, it's not that, you know, I think sometimes we have these thoughts, and because we think it, because it appears in our brain, we just assume it's true.
Yes.
But I think this really is an invitation for people. And I love how you started the show where you asked people to take action. This is perhaps the best thing you can do, is just stop to identify what it is that you keep telling yourself, and then ask, is this really true?
Yes.
Right? Is this really based on fact, or is this like some sort of interpretation I came up with when I was 3 years old, when I didn't really know as much as I know now?
Absolutely. It's funny, my communication style assessment that I always start with, my free gift, right? Because I love supporting the people who follow me. And when I created that, I really started thinking about when we communicate, what really goes into that, right? There's, and you use the word filters, and I say we all have filters. So there's several layers, you know, male, female, we think differently. That's a layer. You know, where you grew up, I grew up in an inner city. So I don't love going to the city. I feel very threatened in that environment. I guess as a child, I didn't feel safe. Again, real or not, it's a filter that I've developed, you know, from childhood. Another one is your heritage, right? I'm very Italian. We all live in the same development. You know, my husband is British. They're all over the world. To me, that was bizarre when I met him. Like, what? You people don't live in the same development? It's right. It's so funny. And now he wouldn't have it any other way, right? But fun, the thing is, how you were raised, your heritage, is your traditions. It's another layer. It's another filter that we create, biases that we don't even know is there. And then, right, you know, generational differences. We think different. I think differently than my kids. Are we open to hearing each other's experiences, because we can learn and grow from that? Still doesn't matter. Filters. I have my filters. My kids have their filters, right? They grew up with technology. I did not. Different life situations, different filter. And then, you know, for me, the communication style is another foundational differences in how we communicate, thus the other filter. And then the last one I talk about is the beliefs, which is what we're talking about here. Doesn't matter. And none of these, I always, when I teach and I share my information, it's not good or bad or right or wrong. It is. So the more we become aware of it, this is my filter. Is it serving me? Is it serving the world? We have a choice, right? Once you identify it, like the crook living up on the hill, right? I had a choice at that moment to reframe my brain. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. That's what we're talking about, though, today, Sharon. And I think it's important because we really do have control of our narrative once we see the filter. And I just want to say one more thing about the filters that I find. And you live in the United States, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see what's going on in the U.S. with the polarization that's happening. And you know, socioeconomic, political, it doesn't matter. There's a polarization happening, right? And I find it very sad. We all have these filters and biases that we don't even realize are there. And I feel when we take the time to just pause and think about it and maybe take that filter and clean it up a little bit so we see with a little bit more clarity, I become more tolerant of the people that are in my orbit. And I think that's an important part of what you and I are talking about today. This is for self, abso-freaking-lutely. But I think we could create a better world also if we just clean up our lenses a little bit and those biases a little bit. So I just wanted to go off on that brief tangent because I think it's applicable to what we're saying. So again, sorry guys, little tangent there. I do want to shift now with all of what I just said in our conversation and my story, that quote by Dr. Joe about priming. Now, I love brain priming, this new, it's not new, but the concept of brain priming, and I love the word priming, right? We prime a wall to paint. We're priming our brain, right, to accept or to be able to smooth, right? We can paint smoothly over that brain. What is that for those who aren't familiar with this term of brain priming? I'm loving it.
Well, I think you kind of just said it. It's kind of like when you're getting ready to paint your walls, especially if you've got really dark colors, you'll know that you have to first prime the wall, which means that you have to put a layer on there before you're ready for the actual paint. And that is basically getting you ready, right? It's like taking that first step that's going to allow you to have the results that you want to create, which is that new color. And women who wear makeup will also be able to relate to this because we put on, before we put on our makeup, we put on a primer, right? It's getting our face ready for the quote unquote paint, right? The makeup that we're going to wear, and it helps us kind of stay longer, doesn't it? Right?
Yes.
So when we're talking about priming our brain, what we're talking about is creating conditions that set us up for success. And there are different ways that we can prime our brain, but I just want you to like understand the concept first, which is that, you know, you have a certain program, as we've been talking about, that is subconsciously often creating the results that you currently see in the world. So if you're really frustrated that you're always getting the same outcomes no matter what you do, you know, maybe you're a procrastinator. Maybe you tend to be a perfectionist. Maybe you're hypercritical. Maybe you're always anxious. Whatever the case may be, you're kind of stuck in a loop. And the reason for that, if you kind of reverse engineer the whole process enough, is that you'll see there is some sort of programming that is leading up to that point, right? There's that trickle effect that is happening from your brain. What we do when we're priming is we're actually saying, let me start at the top. Let me think about, it's kind of like that idea of start with the end in mind, right?
Yes.
We're reverse engineering. So if I don't want to continue to procrastinate, I want to be the kind of person who is really productive, who sits down, is very organized, doesn't get distracted, I can actually prime my brain for that. And then over a short period of time, actually start to do things in a very different way without having to focus so much on the behavior, which is where we typically focus, right?
Yes.
I'm going to put a timer on, and I'm going to have like this accountability partner, and I'm going to have apps, and I'm going to have little notifications,
yes,
and I'm going to have all these external things that are going to keep my brain focused. And that can work, but I always feel like if you're starting from the bottom up, it's just an uphill battle.
Yes.
And so what we're doing by priming is we're actually just shaping our whole program to be aligned with the results that we want to create. And that's why it's so much easier and so much faster to achieve those results externally in the world.
It starts internally, and the external changes, right? Dr. Wayne Dyer, I think, is the one who said, you change your thoughts, you change the world, right? You change your perspective of what you see in front of you. And that's really what we're talking about. This is the blow. You're blowing my mind. Okay. So now that all made sense. I hope it made sense for everybody listening. I like tangibility. So can you give us a success story of someone who used this priming so that we can see that journey of what that looks like, right? What that arc of change looks like.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different scenarios that you can use this for, but I'll share somebody that I just recently worked with. She was a teacher, and she wanted to leave her career and start over as a coach. But she was bringing her teacher mentality with her into the coaching space. And so she had a lot of these ideas that it's going to take a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of hours in order for her to be successful as a coach. Hmm. And part of the main reason that she was leaving teaching was because it was a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of energy, and she wanted to do something different, right? So we had to work on really reshaping that belief. And so we created this recording, which really addressed some of the things that she currently believes that keeps her stuck, and had it actually address what she wants it to be like. And I would have her listen to that recording for 15 minutes a day. And within 2 weeks, and this is how we measured her progress, is her big statement, that her kind of takeaway that she wanted to get behind, was success comes easily to me. And I asked her at the very beginning, on a scale of 0 to 100, how much does that statement feel true to you? How much do you believe that now? And she said only about 30%.
Wow.
So she was practicing listening to this recording that I made for her. And she was doing that pretty much every day. She was pretty good and consistent. And then within 2 weeks, she had doubled the nice. Belief in that. So she went from 30% to, you know, 60% believing the fact that success can come easily to her. And what do you know, within that time frame, two people had heard her talk about the fact that she is now going into coaching, and they're teachers. So they wanted to be coached by somebody who was a former teacher, and they signed up for a consultation with her.
Magic. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's in 2 weeks.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, we all know, and we all say, and we've heard the quotes, the mind is a powerful thing, right? And yet we forget that the mind is a powerful thing, right? The mind is a muscle. You have to use that muscle. You know, it's just like working out. I have no muscles. I start working out, miraculously, I have muscles. So it's the brain is the same way. And when we start to reframe like what you're describing, that's, it's like magic. It's not magic. It's just our brain at work. It really could do these miraculous things. I just love it. That was a great story. So talk to us from your experience. Wait, I have another question going back to the recording. Was it her voice she was listening to? Was it your voice? I'm sure there was multiple things in the recording. Was it your voice? Was it her voice? I'm just curious as to which helps the brain like reframe.
That's a really good question. I think that for some people, it is more powerful to hear their own voice. And when they do that, sometimes they actually have to overcome an additional hurdle, because oftentimes people say, I don't like to hear my own voice. But with practice, they actually get over that very quickly. So that's like the first kind of obstacle that they overcome. Sure. In this process. That said, you can also get the same benefits from listening to somebody else's recording. And in this particular case, I had made the recording for her. I make it a little bit more professional. You know, I add music that is helpful to the brain to kind of make the change. So I'm kind of adding other elements in there. I'm making sure that I'm pacing it and I'm doing all these things. So I do teach people how to make their own for, you know, for those who really want that additional piece. And sometimes, like I said, that can be even more helpful. But if, you know, sometimes people, that could be the biggest obstacle, is like, oh, I have to make this recording.
Absolutely.
And then they don't get started. So sometimes, yep, I'll just make the recording for them just so that they can take that first step, which is just press play.
Yes. Yes. And exactly why I asked that question, because obviously I do the podcast, and it's so funny because initially the first time I heard myself on the podcast, I was like, yikes, I sound like I'm from New Jersey. Like, it was screaming at me because, you know, you lose the filter in my ear. You hear it from a different perspective. Now, you know, you get used to your voice, but I would imagine I hear a lot of people who say that if I went, you know, part of my program, we do recordings and we review the recordings so they could see their body language, listen to their tones of voice. Just like you're saying, a lot of things go into it. And they go, we have to do what? I have to listen to my voice? No. You know, so that could be a barrier. And the other one, I immediately, as you said that you have to make a recording, I'm like, do people have to make a recording? First hurdle, I could see people saying, I didn't have time to make the recording. So, and then the second piece of it is, I like that when you said the pacing, the music, and just the one more thing, guys, that I want to comment on with Sharon here is, I don't believe in cookie cutter. I don't think that if Sharon said, oh, no, I have to do the recording because I do the pacing and the music and it's my voice and I know where to emphasize. And you're saying some people, they're just not even going to get started. I'll do it for them. Some people are like, hey, I'm kind of intrigued. If I can even amp up the results with my own, show me what to do. I'm happy to do it. We're not cookie cutter. So I love that right out of the gate, you create this, let's do what's going to work for you, but we got to do it. Like, we got to do something. We got to put movement here. And I love that you shared both ways, because that to me is the real deal. When I always get a little apprehensive, Sharon, when people say, oh, no, it's got to be, you know, there's many sales vendors out there. No, my template's the best. And I think, yeah, probably not. Right. So again, I'm so happy that you said that. From your experience, what do you find is the most influential form of priming and why? Like, where do you see, like, the rubber hit the road?
So like I said, there are different ways that you can prime, but from my experience, what's been the most effective, and I'll explain in a bit why that is, I work with people to create the actual audio recording of statements that counter where they currently are and that really address where they want to go. So for instance, if you are somebody that has chronic anxiety, we might talk about situations where you feel anxious and what goes through your mind. And then we would turn those statements around and say, like, when I'm in this situation, I feel so calm. I show up to work and I'm very confident. Or, you know, we would just kind of paint the scene of what's happening in a very different way from your current experience, how you want it to be. And then we would record that. And then you listen to it for 15 minutes every single day. And what I love about this method, and the reason why I think this is so much more impactful than most other methods, is because it's just playing in the background, number one. So I work with a lot of high achievers. We're all busy people. And so this is not like another thing you have to do, right? Another 15 minutes you have to carve out of your day. What I love about this is that you can listen to this as you're brushing your teeth and getting dressed in the morning. You can listen to this as you're driving in your car or as you're going for that walk with your headphones on. You can listen to this as you're cooking dinner or you're cleaning up your house. So it's just kind of there in the background. But what happens is your brain just requires that repetition. Yeah. So when it hears the same message over and over and over again, it starts to solidify in your brain. And the next thing you know, just like my teacher example, all of a sudden, you actually start to feel different. You actually start to believe the things that you're hearing. And that's essentially what happened initially that led you to having the current limiting beliefs. Yes. Or the current things that are keeping you stuck right now. It's just that you've told yourself the same story. Yes. Over and over again. You've primed your brain to believe something, even if it was unconscious. And right now what we're doing is we're actually making this a conscious process where you're listening to it, but your subconscious is always listening.
Yeah.
And eventually it picks up on that new program. And why I love this is because A, it doesn't take a lot of time, and B, because it does kind of seep into the subconscious much more readily. That said, I do have some clients that are very visual. And so one thing that they sometimes do is they will either have note cards with each of the statements and then just read the note cards to themselves over and over again. Or I'll have them do a visualization where they can actually see themselves in those situations doing the thing in the way that they want to do it or feeling the way that they want to feel. And then the brain also latches onto that new image, especially if you've rehearsed it again and again. So there's different ways that this can work. But for most people, what I find, the thing that takes the least amount of time and effort and that has a really quick turnaround is the auditory format.
I love it. It's interesting because the auditory, like you said, they put their earbuds in. That's why they're finding podcasting is so popular, because especially the young people, my kids listen to multiple podcasts, probably more than music, which is fascinating, because mm-hmm. it's right in your ear and it's almost like your brain is activated because of that hearing right inside of the brain. So yeah, they're doing a lot with the audio, audiological kind of response to things. So that does not surprise me that is reframing and again, helping with that priming process ASAP, like it's kicking its butt. I think that's mm-hmm. amazing. What is the advantage? And I don't know, maybe you don't do this, but what is the advantage, or can priming be done in a group, or it has to be done on an individual basis? Is there a benefit for one over the other? You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And I think this is an actually important question. So I actually started doing this work one-on-one with people, but what I'm doing now is I'm actually doing it in group settings. And the thing that is really powerful about that is that oftentimes people feel ashamed of where they're stuck. Mm. They feel like they're the only ones that are struggling with this. Mm. And they have all kind, and you know, it's kind of like one thing leads into another, yes, right? You're stuck. Then you've got the shame about being stuck. Sure. And then you kind of isolate. You don't want to tell anybody about it. So it just feeds this whole kind of cycle of negativity, which leads to even more stuckness. So one of the things that I love to do is do this work in a group format so that you feel like you're part of a community, that you're not alone in this struggle. And you can see also other people who've been maybe doing this longer or are more consistent than you are. If you're somebody who is having trouble initially really staying consistent, you can actually start to see how this is working for other people. Sure. And it gives you that sense of hope, like, oh, if they can do it, I can do it. If they have that result, I can get that result. And so you don't just feel like you're doing this alone, but that you're part of something. There's a community around you. Everybody gets it. And you have support. You can kind of reach out to somebody and say like, hey, how come, you know, when you did that, that was really helpful, or this is where I'm stuck. What do you guys suggest? So to be able to be part of that, I think, is even more powerful as you're going through these transformations.
Yeah, it's funny. My masterclass is a group class. And then I like at the end of that, like you hit the tip of the iceberg in the group, you build that community, which is just amazing. And hopefully you're building lifelong relationships from it. That's always a byproduct of what I try to create, right? On business. Let's network. Let's connect. Let's help support each other. But the other piece of that at the end of it is, now that you kind of understand what the map is, now let's get rid of the boulders in the middle of the road. And they're your boulders, might be different than someone else's. And then that's where you want to spin off and maybe do some little one-on-one coaching so you kind of do you go from the broad, right, the zoom out, and then we zoom in after you have certain skills. So I love that concept of the group. And then hopefully if needed, you still have that backup plan of, if I really need to move the needle for myself, the group will get me so far. Then you do the one-on-one, I would assume. That's just how my program works as well. To me, that's logical, you know?
So what I do when we're doing the group is, rather than just like a one-on-one alone, we do one-on-one in a group coaching format. Cool. So people will ask questions, or they'll say, this is where I'm stuck, and I can coach them, but everybody else gets to be part of that process and hear what's happening, because often we can have the same struggles, but we may not think to ask the same questions that somebody else is asking. So there is that benefit of having that shared experience of listening in to how I'm coaching somebody else. And often you don't have to ask that question now. You just got coached by hearing somebody else go through it.
Yeah. It's brilliant when that happens too, right? It happens to me too. You're teaching the class and someone asks a question and the three other people say, oh, I was just thinking the same thing. I didn't know if it was appropriate to ask or I didn't think it was relevant. And I'm like, whoa, yes, it's relevant, right? And now not only are you talking about it, giving your solution, but then you could brainstorm and say, hey, let's do an exercise. Hey, let's play with that for a minute, right? And all of a sudden that thing, we bring it to life and we put it in perspective and it's like, really? That's it? Right? That monster that was lurking all of a sudden becomes a little ant, you know, right? That's that shift in perspective as well. I love it. What did I say to someone recently, Sharon? And it made them crack up. I said, sometimes and I feel like this in the class, people are struggling to look for the flashlight. Meanwhile, I'm standing next to the light switch. So when they ask that question, as they're looking for the flashlight, I say, oh, do you mean this? And I flick the light switch on and they're like, how'd you do that? Right. It's like that magic. And it's like, you ask the right question. I know what light switch to turn on. That's really what we're talking about. So that's, again, I'm visual. So that was, and the person just thought that was funny. So
I love that analogy.
Isn't that so cool? Yeah, I had them. They were on the floor cracking up. They go, where did you come up with that? I'm like, I don't know, divine intervention. It popped into my head. You know, I had a vision of somebody groping for a flashlight. Meanwhile, I'm right next to the stupid light switch, right? It's so silly. So silly. We're silly humans. So we're out of time. But everybody, here's the deal. You know, Sharon, this is her second time on. And trust me, she's going to be on again. I think she's brilliant. I love how she approaches this, that it's, again, not that cookie cutter. My way is the right way. You heard it the way she's now doing it in groups and the benefits of working in groups, right? So as we evolve, you know, ourselves as business owner, coaches, you know, creating classes, group coaching, whatever it is, we evolve and we all of a sudden see things that are getting better and better and better because of the people in our orbit and in our group. So please check out Sharon. I'm going to give you her website. It's drsharongrossman.com and doctor is DR. So it's abbreviated DR Sharon and then Grossman is GROSSMAN.com. Also, Sharon, you have a free gift for my peeps?
I do. So if you're intrigued by the idea of brain priming, I created a little mini training that you can consume in about 30 minutes. So it's for all you busy people. And it's called The Power of Priming. So Connie's going to share a code where you can access the course for free. You know, I think that it'll answer all the questions that you have. But if you have additional questions, you can always reach out to me. And we'll talk about also next steps so that you can really start to put this into practice for your life. I don't want you to just know about this as a concept, but actually start to apply it.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Learning is, and that's what I started with too, Sharon, right at the beginning. Learning and hearing are strategies and tips, right? Like everybody's like, oh, I can make a recording now. Are you doing the right recording, right? So the idea is, so for me today, if I listen to the show, my takeaway would be, let me start thinking about what are my stories? What are those stories that are like, hey, wait, where did that come from, right? Raise my awareness. If I feel stuck, where do I feel stuck? Take Sharon's free course. Maybe it'll spark some intrigue, right? For you to go down the rabbit hole a little bit deeper. And here's the deal, everyone listening. For me, you are in control. This is your life. We have one shot, man. We have one shot in this lifetime. Let's make it freaking awesome because why are we here, right? So I really always hope that the show inspires you to make movement. The free class, she's doing this, guys, for you. She usually charges for this, but for my listeners, she's doing it as a free gift. So Sharon, thank you so much for that. I love when my guests are generous with my people because I really do believe that we're in this together. And I know you're like me. We're in a movement to change the world and just make it a happier, better place. And it starts with individuals, right? We have to be happy in our own being, let alone be successful in the world. So thank you so much for that free gift. So appreciate it. I promise, guys, I will put that link in the show notes. So check it out. Go for it and sign up for that free gift. Sharon, thank you again. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, love this conversation. Love priming. Holy crap. Dinner tonight, I'm going to be talking to my kids about priming and, you know, watch what you're feeding your brain. And yeah, I'll go into mom mode tonight and they'll be like, yeah, whatever she's saying, right? thanks so much. And thank you all for tuning in. to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. And I really do hope that this thing that we call change, that I hope that as you join me weekly, that you start to, you know, build and discover ways that you can shift your being, shift the way you think, and create the changes you're looking for. Change might feel heavy and burdensome. Really, really, we have resources out there that can help you navigate that change just a little bit easier. And hey, man, if we can make life a little bit easier, why don't we do it, right? So jump on board, get that free training. Thank you for listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net with me, your host, Connie Whitman. Thank you again to my guest, Dr. Sharon Grossman, for being on. I wish you all an amazing, amazing week filled with inspiration, love, and joy. Go out and try something new. Be inspired to take on the challenge. Be inspired to take Dr. Sharon's free class. I know I'm going to do it as well. So come and play with me as I create a little more change in my life as well. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. See you next week.